and soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Many blessings. This is our first talk in 2010. And we're going to make it a silent talk, I think. We're going to have a period of silence in which we can bring the actual Spirit of God into our experience. So, what we need to do is have many little meditations. All right? We'll start that right now. I'm going to help you with the first few. After that, you're on your own. I can of mine own self do nothing. I can do nothing with my body. The body will not help me into a conscious awareness of Christ. And I can do nothing with the mind. The human mind will not help me into the actual feeling of the Christ. Something else must be used, and so I set them aside, not by might nor by power, not by body nor by mind, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so there is a way to let this God's spirit meditate, perform the meditation, or reveal itself. Now, I cannot pull God into my meditation. But if I stop struggling, if I stop pulling and pushing mentally or physically, if I can find a way, the way, to relax, to rest, just to be at peace, spirit, my spirit, will lift me into an awareness of itself. And so I stop using the body. I stop using the mind. I stop using anything, and I do not have to work that hard. Father, lift up thy son. I stand a little to one side, a witness, a beholder, and I let spirit lift itself out of the tomb. Stand ye still now. I am here. I am here. Of thee am the way. let me lift you into an awareness of spirit in your midst. I will not fail thee. This meditation, I have felt the movement of spirit, and I'm sure many of you have too. But what of those that haven't? There was a time in my experience when I was one of those who haven't, and even though I had read many, many books, I had missed something, and so I determined to find out what it was, because I reached a place, and I'm sure some of you have, we all eventually reach a place where we realize we can go no further without grace. Grace, the touch of the Holy Spirit. And so I returned to the books to find out what I had missed. And I started at the beginning. And the beginning is to learn how to practice the presence. We remember not to forget, and forget not to remember, that God is present where we are. And we practice this throughout the day. It's a conscious practicing. It is true, in the beginning we forget more than we remember. But we don't waste time with any condemnation of ourselves. We just, as soon as we do remember, practice again. It does become habitual. We learn that when we open our eyes to in the morning, the first thing that we need to do is to remember that the presence is right there. And the words aren't important. There are no specific words. You can use any words you want. You might say something like, "This is your day, Father. I will be still. I will watch you direct my steps." And then we just pause for a moment, like this. And we may feel something, we may not. So we get up and we prepare for our day. It's suggested that we remember the presence as we sit down to have breakfast. We might close our eyes or blink our eyes and say something like, "Thank you, Father. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace appears as this breakfast." Even if the breakfast is only a cup of coffee, Thy grace is appearing as this breakfast. And we pause, just for a moment. We may feel something, we may not. It doesn't matter. We gather our things and get ready to get in our car or walk down to where we get on a bus or take a a subway or a tram or a train or something to work. But before we head out the door, we are instructed to remember again, to remember the presence. God is just as much on the other side of the door as He is on this side. Because of God's omnipresence, there's no place I can go today and not find myself in the center of that presence. And we pause just for a second. We are told that we walk out to get in the car, and before we start the engine, we remember not to forget God. There's only one presence on this road. Because of omnipresence, it's God. God is the intelligence behind every moving vehicle. It doesn't matter what the census report. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested now in, just for this moment, knowing the truth. And so thank you, Father. You guide my arms and legs and everyone else's because of your omniscience. And we pause. And then we start the engine and we head for work, or head for our chores or our errands that we're running. And so in this way, several times throughout the day, we are practicing remembering the presence. That's what practicing the presence is. It's practicing remembering the presence. It's practicing remembering omnipresence. You see, we don't learn that growing up. Nobody has taught us how to do that in school. None of the universities I went to had a course called Practicing the Presence. It would be wonderful if they did. Oh, it would be great. And maybe someday they will. But none of them had that course, or I'd have signed up for it. So it's you and I, individually, that must teach ourselves how to make a transition from living in the mind that is hypnotized to living in the mind that is practicing remembering omnipresence, that is practicing staying awake throughout the day. We really have two choices, don't we? We can sleep throughout the day, and I'm not referring to physical sleep. I'm referring to sleeping and being unaware of omnipresence, or we can practice staying awake. I don't know if any of you have ever had to stay awake. I've had situations in my life where I've had to stay awake all night. And I found that exercising and drinking some coffee and doing things that help keep me awake, maybe taking a shower, is how I made it through the night. Well, we on this spiritual path are learning not to fall asleep throughout the day. We are learning to remember not to forget, and forget not to remember, to practice omnipresent, to stay awake to that presence and give it opportunities to reveal itself by pausing several times each day. So, How do we, what do I mean by hypnotized and sleeping? I simply mean we get lost in the drama. Let's say you go to work and there's office politics going on. Oh, it's so hard not to get involved in that. There's this side and the other side. There may be management and workers. There may be different departments. And somebody's talking to you. Oh, do you see how so-and-so did this? Oh, it would be so much easier to do this the other way. I don't understand why they don't do this. You know, management really doesn't care about this. They're only interested in making a buck. If they did, we'd have this and that and the other. It's very hard as you're listening to that conversation to not be pulled in very subtly to the drama. And before you know it, you're saying, yes, that's terrible what they're doing, isn't it? Well, somebody should do something about that. And you have just been pulled into the drama of the office politics. Well, you've forgotten all about the presence. And there's this little nagging feeling that you're going the wrong direction. But you can't stop. You do it anyway. Well, that's what I mean by being asleep. That's what I mean by being hypnotized. Or we get on the highway on the way to work, and it's rush hour traffic, and this person just cut me off, and how could they do that? Are they blind? I've forgotten all about the presence which I practiced for a moment at home. I'm on the road now. That's been set aside. I'm pulled into the drama. You see? That's how we're lulled to sleep. That's how we're hypnotized. By being only aware of what the senses are reporting. We are living in and through and by our sense perceptions. We're living in a sense mind. But the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And so if I'm living in that sense mind, grace is unavailable to me. It's completely unavailable, just like it doesn't exist. I can have no grace in my life. And so we're taught to practice omnipresence, because at those moments that we're remembering the presence with us, the omnipresence, and pausing in hopes that we may feel its movement or be aware of it, if only for a second, in those moments we are not sleeping. We are not hypnotized. We are awake, alert to omnipresence, to a presence ever in our midst. And it becomes a habit. We learn to practice the presence throughout the day. And if we awaken at night, we learn to practice the presence in the middle of the night. And even before we fall asleep, the last thing that we should do, we are told, is to practice the presence. I may rest my body and my mind, but the presence of God is still here. And I rest back in it. And if there's anything that you would have me see, reveal thyself, Father. Speak. For I am listening. And we close our eyes. And so, as I looked back on why I wasn't feeling the presence, I thought maybe I hadn't practiced the presence correctly. And so I went back to where we are told to start, and started all over practice in the presence and remembering not to forget and forgetting not to remember throughout the day and night. And then I sought for whatever else I might have missed. And the next thing that we are to add is meditation and learning the art of meditation. So I went back to see what I might have missed. And right about then, my beautiful friend sent me the transcripts of the 1955 Kailua Study Series. And it was exactly, perfectly timed as I looked to see what I might have missed in my meditation, in my practice of meditation. Now, we know that practicing the presence is sort of the foundation. And a lot of it, if the truth be known, is on the level of the mind. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we have to use that mind to get free from the mind. I read the other day, Joel said, we have to use effort to find effortlessness. And it's true. Nobody will come along with a magic wand, and there's no talk you're ever going to hear that's going to tap you on the head and say, you are enlightened, my friend. All of us have to use effort to find out how to live effortlessly. We have to use the mind to practice the presence and to begin our meditations in order to find that place where mind is no longer needed because spirit has taken over. So in meditation we are taught to contemplate. Scripture contemplates statements of truth. And that's no different than sitting down and saying, God is the source of my supply. God is the source of my breakfast. God is the source of my intelligence. All of that is in the realm of the mind, remembering truth. Ah, but in the Kailua Studies series, more than any other, we are shown there's a deeper form of meditation. But you're not ready for that deeper form of meditation if you haven't practiced the presence and haven't learned how to contemplate. You can't leapfrog over those two steps and say, well, I'm going right for the gold. I'm going to get that ring. If you try to leapfrog over those first two steps, you'll fail. You'll fail. You may learn the words, and the mind may imitate spirit, but it won't be spirit, and you won't have the fruitage that comes from making contact with the actual presence of God. So we go back and we learn how to contemplate. And there's nothing to it. I mean, there's something to it, but I mean, it's not that hard. We take a scripture, such as, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. We close our eyes and we look at it gently, lightly. We don't struggle or strain, beat our brow to find the inner meaning. No, we just say it lightly. Maybe something will jump out at us. Maybe not. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. My spirit. Okay. If I'm not exercising my body, and I'm not using my mind, then my spirit will do the work. That's right. I can of mine own self do nothing. It's the Spirit within. He doeth the works. The Father and the Spirit are one. Oh, that's right. God is the Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. God is a spirit and cannot be contacted with the body or the mind. Those must be still so that this my spirit can flow. Okay, let us be still and let this my spirit flow. Father, Thou art the Spirit, the omnipresent Spirit. I will stand a little to one side. I will witness You take over. Father, I rest back in Thy Spirit. Can you see where our contemplation led gradually to the place through contemplating truth, which revealed one truth after another, until we reached the place of, oh yes, that's right. Oh, that's right. I'm to be still. And so it led us gradually to a place of stillness. And that's the value of learning how to contemplate. And so we've learned how to practice the presence, and we've learned how to contemplate, leading to a moment of stillness. But now we come to the Kailua study series. If we haven't leapfrogged over those two practices, if we've gone through them the way we're supposed to, then we are told we are ready for a new form of meditation. And we'll pick it up here from the chapter Experience of the Christ, because that's what we're talking about. It's tape 121, or chapter 23 of the 1955 Kailua Study Series. Now, we'll pick it up right here, because we said by starting this that the whole secret is in experiencing that spirit. That's what we want. That's what we're striving towards. That's what we're working towards. So we'll pick it up here. He says, remember, we're learning a new form of meditation. We haven't jumped over those other steps. We've taken them. We've lived with them for quite a while. Then we're ready for this new form. And it says, he says, I am saying this to you after 25 years, and I'll stake all of the infinite way on it. What I'm telling you today is the truth. Knowing the truth alone will not make you free. Declaring it, reading it, even meditating on it or contemplating it, these are the things on which metaphysical movements have wrecked themselves, believing that reading truth or declaring it or affirming it would heal us of our sins and our diseases and our lack and limitation. And in many cases, all it succeeded in doing was multiplying our troubles, or at least perpetuating them. The secret lies in the fact that truth is not a mental activity. It has nothing to do with an activity of the mind. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but when I read that for the first time, when I heard that for the first time, it was quite shocking. Truth is not a mental activity. Now think of that. Think. It means when you have gone into your meditation and immediately a stream of words came to you, statements of truth, scriptures, and you repeated them to yourself in your mind, all of that is a mental activity. It's taking place in the mind, right? Right. But he says here plainly, the secret, what secret? The secret of how to make contact with the spirit lies in the fact that truth is not a mental activity. It has nothing to do with an activity of the mind. Therefore, it has nothing to do with reading, speaking, or thinking truth. God is a spirit, and those that worship God, those that expect to bring the good of God into their experience through God contact, must do so in spirit, not in the mind. The mind part, which is the letter of truth, killeth. If we remain on the level of the mind, the letter killeth. And many of us have remained there. And that's why we're wondering, wow, I've been studying for 10 years, 15 years, even 20 years, and I still have these problems. I still have this lack and limitation. I can't make my bills. I can't pay them on time. I'm struggling. I'm juggling. I'm losing things. They're repossessing my car. My health is no good. It should be better, shouldn't it? If I really know the truth, what's the matter with me? My relationship just ended. I failed again. What's going on? Well, he's telling you plainly, and I'm telling you plainly, it's because we remain on the level of the mind. Or perhaps we tried to leapfrog over those first steps. And you can't do it. You have to learn the letter and then go to the spirit. It's a specific principles, specific path that was laid down so that we didn't have to rediscover it. We could just follow directions. And so, when we remain on the level of the mind, the letter kills. It is the spirit that makes us free. It is the attaining of the actual consciousness of truth that makes us one free. It has nothing to do with how much of the letter of truth you know. The letter of truth plays a part in the work because it gives us a working tool, something to work with and through. And so we work with the truth in the mind to get away from the mind. You see that? And later on, it helps us to keep us from lapsing into a blind faith. So, you can't skip over the letter, but if you stay in the letter killeth. You must reach this place where you are ready for a deeper form of meditation. It's the spirit that makes you free. It's the actual consciousness of truth, which means the actual conscious awareness of truth that makes you free. It has nothing to do with your mind. All right, so the body's not going to bring a conscious awareness of the spirit. And now we are told the mind will not bring you the conscious awareness of the spirit. And yet only the conscious awareness of the spirit will make you free from these lacks and limitations. And if you still have the lacks and limitations, and plenty of them, you must admit that you've only had the letter of truth. Because if you've practiced, if you learn, rather, how to let the spirit take over, then the lacks and limitations will fall away. All right, and so there's a deeper form of meditation that if we have learned how to practice the presence and we've learned how to contemplate and catch a moment of silence, there's a new form that we're ready for. So now let's see if we can nail that down to exactly what it is. I feel the best thing we can do is just read these two pages exactly like they are. Remember, we are learning now a brand new form of meditation, a form that allows us to make that contact, or rather, witness, without using words, without using thoughts, witness the spirit, the living spirit, as it flows. So now he's going to tell us how he does that. Joel is. So listen up. If you have done these preceding steps, you have learned how to practice the presence, you have learned in your meditation how to practice contemplation and know the letter of truth, you are ready now to go beyond that, because the spirit will meet your problems and anyone else's, and nothing else will. So Joel's going to share with us how he does that. So listen up. Now, says Joel, supposing for a moment, somebody presents me suddenly with a cancer. Now, I ask you, in all fairness, do you think I could do any more about a cancer than you could? Or the surgeon could? Do you think I have any more knowledge of what to do about a cancer than anybody else has? And the answer is definitely no. Definitely no. Nothing. And I know that I could turn around and say some words. I could say there are no cancers in divine mind. I know all the words and some of the music. I know all the truth statements that can be made. I know all the denials and all the affirmations. But I don't have any faith that they would heal any cancers. Because I have watched for 25 years. These people who know all these truths and declare them all, but eventually they have to give up their practice. And those that have the cancers usually end up giving up their lives, their human sense of life. But I can say this to you. There really is a spiritual power. There actually is. You can't see it any more than you could see electricity. But nevertheless, there is a force in this world called electricity. I say to you, there is a spiritual power greater than these, greater than atomic power, greater than electrical power. There is a spiritual power that nullifies every power that has ever been known to the mind. Now listen. In other words, people have been drowned, and this spirit, this spiritual power, has brought them back from death. People have been injured in automobile wrecks, and this power has brought them back from death. People have had every form of disease in the world, and this power has brought them back. And isn't that what we're interested in, my friends? Haven't we reached a place where we realize that nothing short of an actual spiritual experience is going to solve our problem? And so Joel continues with, there is a spiritual power, but talking about it, affirming it, and declaring it does not bring it forth into expression. That's the point I'm making. We could sit here and talk about electricity and atomic power and hydrogen power and never have one bit of them in this room. And we could sit here and you can go home and ride along in your automobile and declare every truth you have ever known and not bring one single trace of spiritual power into expression. But you can, without the use of words and thoughts, bring spiritual power into immediate availability. And you do that by turning within yourself in silence. Now, this is a new form of meditation. So he says, you won't do it in a tremendous degree at first. It is a development, an unfoldment. But by acknowledging here and now, there is a spiritual power, which is the infinite all power of the universe, and this power is within me. It is closer to me than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I cannot bring it forth by thinking thoughts. I cannot bring it forth by knowing truth. I can only bring it forth by a degree of interior silence, through which I let it escape from me. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, and there was land. Let the spirit be released and flow out from you, and it will be so. Now, the day must eventually come to our students when they know the nature of God, the nature of prayer, the nature of individual being, the nature of error, and the nature of the Christ. That's what constitutes the letter. Once you've practiced the presence and you're well versed in the letter, we have to go beyond that now in order to have the actual experience of spirit. And so he says, once we know these, we know the letter, we are established in the letter. And from then on, we know that whatever is to be accomplished won't be accomplished by the letter. It must be accomplished not by learning more things, but by permitting, by letting this infinite invisible spirit flow out. As this presence of God appears in your individual expression, it is the Christ. Now, the moment you know this, and it's a big step you're going to take now, the moment you know this, you will be confronted with pictures of error. It will be in those you see around you. That's the way it acts. The moment you become aware of something, you become aware of it multiplied, but only for one reason, so that you can develop this new form of meditation. All right. Now, what is that new form of meditation? He's going to tell you right now. Don't respond to an appearance of error with a statement of truth ever again. Yes, I know you've done that in the past. Something's come up and immediately you've known the letter of truth. And that's what you were supposed to do. But if you've practiced that and you're standing now where the lacks and limitations are still there, it's time to come up higher. Practice this new form of meditation in which you can experience the living spirit in your midst. No longer a thought about spirit, no longer a wish or a hope, but the actual spirit which dissolves your problems. Only the spirit is power. And so he says, don't respond to an appearance of error with the statement of truth. that comes out of your mind. Don't do that. From this very moment, let the truth that you know, which now constitutes your consciousness, let it be satisfied. You already know the truth. You knew it yesterday and the day before. There's no need to repeat it. From now on, from this moment on, instantly, instantly, get to the center of your being. Get in here as fast as you can and wait for the Father. Wait for the Father. Wait for Spirit to speak or utter itself or declare itself or reveal itself. From now on, if someone says to you, "I have a headache, will you help me?" Don't be tempted to answer, even with a thought. If necessary, grit your teeth and say, "No. No answer to that." And then, wait a second. Just wait. You will see something will take place within you. It doesn't make any difference if it doesn't happen the first time. It will happen very quickly as you train yourself not to affirm or deny anymore, but to close your mind, close your eyes, close your mind, open your ear, your inner ear, and wait. Let God do it within you. Let the Christ come into manifestation. Because it isn't your thinking that's going to help anybody. If it would, New Thought would have saved the world in the last 50 years. But that's just giving the world a lot more mental work to develop more headaches. If all of this mental hodgepodge would do anything, psychology would be doing it. There's a rightful function for your mind, but your mind isn't this spiritual power. It's an avenue of awareness. You have the right with your mind to become aware of spirit. But you have no right to try to make spirit manifest. You can't, with your mind, make spirit operate. All you can do with your mind is become aware of that which is. So, someone has a headache, you're not going to change it. I don't care what you say or what you think, you're not going to change that. But because there is an infinite being called spirit, the introduction of spirit into the situation will dispel any illusory sense. Now, he says, when I get very still and wait, I eventually get that deep breath in there, what I call a click. Sometimes it's accompanied with an actual message, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's nothing more than a deep breath. But that deep breath is a release. It's a release. It makes me feel, oh, God's on the scene. I'm through. And then it brings harmony into the relationships. It sounds funny, doesn't it? It brings harmony to another person's bones. It brings harmony to another person's heart, liver, and lungs, or eyes. You see that? You see that? Now, to put this into practice is going to be your first battle for quite a period. Because as you see discords, diseases, and inharmonies in the world, your natural reaction is still going to be to know the truth. That's the first natural reaction. To say something like, oh, that's a lie. It's all an illusion. That's no part of God. God is all. And believe me, if you do that, you've spoiled it right there. Because you've tried to function spirit with your mind. you have to do now, from now on, is shut it off immediately. Refuse to be tempted to make any statement of truth, any affirmation, or any denial. Grit your teeth, close your eyes, wait upon the Lord. Let God do it. Create a vacuum, a silence, and just sit still. You'll find there is a God. There is a spirit. God is a reality. So, why not wait and let God's thoughts come to you? See, we've read that scripture, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord." And then we go into meditation and immediately use my thoughts. And the heck with God's thoughts. Here's a new approach. We're either going to hear God's thoughts, we're either going to receive that inner release, which can be a quick short breath or a deep breath. I feel it as a presence moving through me that just, I relax totally. The mind and bodily is totally resting in spirit, and I feel the spirit. And sometimes there's a message, sometimes there isn't. Sometimes the scripture comes with it, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not interested in the scripture. I'm interested in the release. Because the release is something that's not in the mind. The release is something that's brought about by feeling the spirit, the invisible spirit. So he says, why not wait and let God's thoughts come to you? That's where the difficulty comes in this waiting. You've got to wait until God's thoughts reach you. And that's why it isn't easy, because there's a million layers of humanness, of human mind, which is a sense of separation from God. And all these barriers of antiquity exist as barriers through which God seems unable to break, to come into our individual awareness. And so you and I are the ones that have to open out a way. And we do it now in our meditations by refraining from taking thought. We do it by taking no thought for our life, or his life, or her life, but waiting until God's thought comes through. Do you know, if the voice of God ever came through and said, let's have water from these plants, water would flow? I can't make that happen, and neither can you. But if it ever came through, you would see water come from these plants. When that feeling of spiritual impulse, spiritual release comes through, I have seen, and many of you have seen, sick people jump out of bed. No question about it. It happens all the time. But it must be that spirit. Now, do we understand? Do we see where we've come from? Do we see where we're going to? Do we see that it was necessary to practice the presence, and if we never learned how to do that, it's necessary to go back and practice it again? Do you see that it's necessary to know the letter of truth, and if we haven't learned it, to go back and learn it, as well as contemplation? And so he finishes by saying, most of this work is much easier than water rolling off your back in the shower. I can tell you that. There's really nothing to it, because most of it is not a conscious work in the mind. It's a work that takes place in consciousness without any conscious thought about it. And just as I am certainly not doing any conscious healing work here in this room, yet I know healings are taking place. But you see, that's all taking place in consciousness without any conscious thought on my part. All right. So, the new form of meditation, assuming you have gone through and have learned to practice the presence and have learned to contemplate the letter of truth and have learned the art of meditation, assuming you have learned how to pause several times during the day, remembering not to forget omnipresence of God, assuming you have had two or three periods of meditation for 2 to 5 minutes each day in which you've contemplated the letter of truth and perhaps been led gently to a moment of quiet, now we are ready for the next step. And so you say to yourself, how come I still have these lacks and limitations? I still have these sicknesses. I still have these problems. It's because you have not opened to the infinite spirit of God. But now you have a way. And remember, the words are not important. If I say to you, like he did, you are to say, no answer to this, and just wait. Those words are not important. You can even forget those words if you want. We're not interested in words. We're not interested in thoughts. We're interested in the actual living spirit. We don't know how to pray. We cannot pray with the mind. But the Spirit can pray within us, and we can hear the Spirit pray. When the Spirit imparts its prayer, it is done. It is done. It is power. So, choose whatever words you want. It's not important. What we are looking for is that inner release as the Spirit is upon us. And that's not a mental activity. So, how do I do that? Well, let us suppose that one of you sends me an email and says, I'm having a problem. I say to you, in as loving a way as I can, I will work for you. I understand. And then I delete your email. I walk over to my chair here. I sit down to meditate. Do I bring you into the meditation? No. Because that would be a mental activity, wouldn't it? So I don't do that. Do I bring your condition into meditation and try to work on that? No, because that would be me trying to work on something. I don't need that. I need the entrance of the Spirit. And so I sit down, close my eyes, and say something like, wait a minute. I'm not using the body. I'm not using the mind. I don't have to know any truth. I don't have to work that hard. I stand a little to one side and witness, Father, reveal thyself, Spirit, flow, and I am still. And let us suppose the mind kicks up and starts to try to latch on to a statement of truth, which it does. I say, no, be still. I of myself can do nothing. It's the Father within, the glorious, wonderful Spirit itself. That and that alone is the truth. And so, Father, reveal the spiritual creation. I'm listening. I wait upon you, Lord. Father, reveal thyself. usually 2 or 3 minutes go by, and I have felt the spirit itself, or I haven't. And if I have, I let it all go. It's done. And if I haven't, then an hour or two from now, I sit down again until I feel that inner release. It's an actual release. The spirit flows into you and it just relaxes every part of your body and mind, and you, oh, thank you, Father, thank you. And sometimes you can't help it. You say, I love you. It's a release. And you know, for that meditation, for that moment, the spirit has taken over. Alright, so let's have one now. Let's have one together. Take your most pressing problem, and here it is in front of your eyes. You see it, maybe you taste it, touch it, feel it, hear it. You certainly have thoughts about it. All right, here it is right in front of you. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about this? Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to do anything about this. That's right. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So I drop you now. I do not work on you. And I take no thought about you. I'm going to get in here, deep within my being. Yes, here, in the inner part. Father, I cannot do anything with the body or the mind. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I need to hear thy thought. I need to feel thy thought. I need to feel your invisible presence, the living spirit. All right. So I take no thought. I'm not going to try to remember any statement of truth whatsoever. I don't have to work that hard. Father, reveal thyself, thy spirit, thy presence. If your mind starts to wander onto the problem or grasping for a statement of truth, you don't have to be rough with it. Just gently come back. Just gently. No. Father, thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy spirit flow. Thy spirit. Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not where the mind is, not where the thought is, where the spirit is, there is liberty. And spirit is right here. I, in the midst of thee, am the way. Leave it to me. Leave all to me. I am the way. Feel me. Rest in me. I will lift thee. And I hope you all feel it right this moment. This spirit will set you free. And anyone that turns to you O Father, let thy spirit flow, that anyone anywhere reaching out may touch this thy spirit, and not a me. So the Spirit be upon you, dear friends, and the power and the glory of that Spirit. God is a Spirit, and you must feel God in your spirit, and you must, in your silent meditations, feel the Spirit flow through you. Blessings. Too many to count. Blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Blessings for all those anywhere that reach out to the Spirit.